Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Al Morales, and this morning's conversation is with HUD Chief Information Officer Lisa Schlosser. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director of Federal Civilian Programs at IBM. Lisa, what trends will have the largest impact at HUD and its customers in the next 10 years, and how will HUD need to adapt to meet these changes?
I think first and foremost, as I mentioned several times throughout the interview, that our primary mission is obviously to increase home ownership opportunities, provide affordable housing, and help build communities and invest in communities. And so obviously the direction of the housing market and the economy related to the housing market really impacts our business first and foremost. And that's what we have to plan for and react to as time goes on. Second major trend, of course, which none of us can predict, is disasters. What kind of disasters are we going to have? What areas of the country? And how can we provide the quickest support to getting folks into temporary housing, working with various agencies to do that, and also to rebuild any communities that are impacted by disasters as we go through?
Lisa, HUD, like many other federal agencies, is currently dealing with a reduction in budgets. How will the OCIO's office incorporate budget reductions into modernizing planning and other IT efforts?
Well, obviously, we have to continue to get better and better. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we've really worked on our investment processes, and we've really made sure that we've included our businesses and our strategic goals of the department into our planning process for information technology investments. We'll continue to do that. We'll always have a handle on what the business priorities of the department are, what the key priorities, again, from the business perspective are, and we'll invest where the priorities are the highest, and also we'll invest where it makes good sense on the technology side, where we can build once and service many different programs at once. So the way we'll confront those things is through, again, better understanding of the business, a consistent understanding of the changes in the environment impacting our business, and also understanding the technology that's available, where we can share technology to get the biggest bang for our buck.
Lisa, on a related topic, there are many exciting technologies that are vogue in the marketplace today, such as SOA, that promise significant advantage in cost savings and improved systems integration. Could you please describe HUD's plans for future technologies and investments?
Certainly, the service-oriented architecture principles, as we've talked about before, are something we want to continue to look at, continue to invest in. Obviously, we want to share services, build once and service many, capitalize on economies of scale, you know, actually use the products in our environment to service multiple business needs is what we want to continue to do. Specifically, from a technology standpoint, we want to incorporate web services technology. We want to web-enable all of our business applications, so any stakeholder, be it a business, another government agency, or the citizen, can access the HUD information that they need when they need it and customize it to their particular needs and their particular requirements. Government-wide, HUD's also going to ensure that we invest in moving towards Internet Protocol version 6. And we're going to take advantage of smart cards and other technology solutions on the horizon, better and quicker encryption. The third thing that we really want to do is capitalize on the power of wireless at many levels where we can. We have an increasingly mobile workforce. We have less funding for travel. We have less funding for government employees. So we really want to be efficient about the way we use technology. I really see remote access, web mobile type solutions, handhelds, some of the other technology that gets our mobile workforce connected. No matter where they are, they can access securely HUD resources that they need to do their business.
Now, related to that, how much of HUD's workforce is mobile today?
It's hard to pin on the exact percentage of how much. I would say somewhere between maybe 30% to 40% of HUD's workforce travels to conduct inspections, you know, to promote some of our home ownership opportunities. So I would estimate that roughly 30% to 40% of our folks out there need some sort of mobile capability. But you also have to consider really your whole workforce as a potentially mobile workforce, really. In the event of a disaster, in the event that you have to deploy rapid response teams to a disaster area, you have to assume that anytime, any place, you can enable your people with a wireless solution. Teleworking, obviously, you need to build in remote access capabilities. So, for example, HUD's implemented a web-based remote access solution. We use the mobile computers, obviously, that are wirelessly connected. So, again, we do equip our mobile workforce, and we are prepared to equip more of our workforce as more mobility is needed down the line.
Now, Lisa, we talk with many of our guests about the government employee pending retirement wave. How are you handling the retirement wave?
Well, a couple things. The department overall has really an incredible intern program. We bring in, I think we probably had a couple hundred interns this year from various programs, from various universities across the nation. And we have a structured program where we bring these folks in. We offer them training throughout their time here as an intern. We really invest in the interns because we want them to come back. We want them to be HUD employees. Within the Office of the Chief Information Officer, we have an emerging leaders program where we meet on a quarterly basis with some of our emerging leaders. And we train them on various things, not just technology, but we train them on how to be good leaders, you know, what to expect from their leaders, how to be good program project managers, and to understand the technology. We also spend a lot of time teaching them about the business of the government and about the business of HUD. So we want them to get invested, to be excited about the incredible mission and opportunities that we have, so that they come in and so we have a workforce that's ready to move up the ranks, you know, as some of our other members of our workforce get ready and actually do retire.
Lisa, we also talked to many of our guests about the topic on the topic of collaboration. What kinds of partnerships are you developing now, and how will these partnerships between HUD, other federal agencies, or the private sector change over time?
Well, I think we're finally really getting into a mindset across the federal government that it does really make sense to collaborate on areas of commonality. And I think collaboration will continue to grow. I think e-government initiatives from the current administration have really opened our eyes to, wow, you know, we really do have a common need. We do have a common way we can do this particular business. And, of course, that translates into technology that we really can capitalize more on shared services across the government. I think a couple areas where you're seeing even more collaboration is, say, in the disaster recovery arena. HUD works very closely with the Veterans Administration and the United States Department of Agriculture on making sure that we can take personnel and get them into housing as quick as possible and help to build the community. So you're seeing a good collaboration occur there. We've also, in that particular case, we've also put work together with those two agencies. We have kind of common housing mission areas. We put together a website called homesales.gov where we list any properties that the government owns that we would like to sell. We list it on those websites, and anybody's able to get to that website, make an offer on those homes, or at least pursue how to make an offer if they're interested. So it's been a very good opportunity to work together to get that information out. I mentioned a program earlier, Enterprise Income Verification, where us, the Social Security Administration, Health and Human Services have gotten together and shared a database that has income data for various recipients of federal programs. And by building that database once and sharing it, we've increased the quality, we've reduced improper payments. So there's some real tangible quantitative benefits of collaborating, particularly as we've been talking about in the area of information technology. Again, you build it once, let multiple folks use it, and you can really create some efficiencies in your process and some cost savings.
Lisa, you've certainly enjoyed a very exciting and distinguished career, and you've made the migration from the private sector over to public service. What advice could you give to a person who's interested in a career in public service?
Well, I'd say first thing is to really understand what aspect of government you'd like to get involved with. There's various opportunities out there, specifically in the area of security-type career fields, always opportunities in information technology. And my best advice would be to capitalize on usajobs.gov. It's a great website, a great resource. It lists opportunities, talks you through what a career in the government's like, and it definitely lists all the different job opportunities that are available across the United States in a variety of different areas of expertise as well. So I would encourage folks to periodically look at usajobs.gov and take advantage of the opportunities that are listed there.
Great. That's fantastic. Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our time. I do want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Pete and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held in public office as well as in the U.S. Army.
Thanks. And I appreciate you taking the time to have me here today and allowing me to share some of the things that HUD's doing. Obviously, HUD's continuing to, what we think, provide a great service to the American public. Home ownership, that's America's dream, right, is to own a home. And the mere fact that now over 70% of the American citizens do own their own home, I think is quite a testimony to Secretary Jackson, Assistant Secretary Brian Montgomery, the head of Federal Housing Administration, and other key leaders within HUD. I think you're going to see some exciting things coming out of HUD that are really going to help people even have more opportunities for home ownership, modernization programs within the Federal Housing Administration. It's going to allow more flexibility to first-time, particularly first-time home buyers. And I encourage everyone to look for those programs, look for those opportunities. Again, I thank you for asking me to be here today.
Great. We look forward to your continued success. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Chief Information Officer of the Department of Housing and Urban Development, Ms. Lisa Schlosser. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Al Morales. Thank you for listening.